Good afternoon, as I always say, Yishkoyach to all of you for coming and participating in this wonderful learning opportunity. And I just encourage you to find other friends, bring more people, and help us promote more Talmud Torah. So what I want to do is a shiur today about a very fascinating character. He appears a few times in Tanakh. And if we do a little detective work and we start to piece the Gemaras together, I think we'll find a very interesting story which emerges from the life and times of Bava ben Buta. Now, what do we know about Bava ben Buta? We know that he was a student of Beis Shammai. The Gemara tells us that explicitly, and that may or may not come into play in our discussion of him in general. But I titled the shiur Amelia Bedelia in the Curious Case of Bava ben Buta. And you'll understand why I say that in a second. For anyone who has children or grandchildren who used to read Amelia Bedelia books, so what happened to Amelia Bedelia? Things always went wrong. She would always say one thing, she would be literal, right? And something else would happen. And it was always, my kids used to love the book. They still do love those books. And things always went wrong in Amelia Bedelia. It never exactly happened exactly as you would have expected it. And so I titled the shiur Amelia Bedelia in the Curious Case of Bava ben Buta. And I'll explain why, as you see, as we go along and we learn the various Gemaras. So Gemara number one is a Gemara Nedarim. And what you have to do as we learn through these Gemaras is remember them, because each Gemara builds upon the other one. And so you have to keep them in mind as we learn them, because again, we're going to be playing a little bit of detective work, trying to figure out exactly who Bava ben Buta was, and most importantly in a second, what exactly he represents. So the Gemara says, Hahu bar Bavel, desalik la'arad Yisrael nasiv itisa. So a guy comes from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, and he takes there a wife. Now, that doesn't seem like such a big deal, but you have to remember that Bavel and Eretz Yisrael are two totally different cultures. That would be the equivalent of me going to Uzbekistan and taking a wife from there, where even though I'm a guy and she's a girl, but the old statement of men are from Mars and women are from Venus actually holds up here now, and they speak different languages. They don't speak the same language. He's speaking Babylonian, Aramaic, she's speaking Hebrew, and it's kind of like, they just can't get on the same page. So Amarla, he says to her, right, the first night married, he's expecting a grisa meal, bashili li tre talpe, cook for me a couple of lentils. What does she do? Bashila le tre talpe. And what does she do? She takes them literally. This is exactly, by the way, the book, Amelia Bedelia. So she takes two lentils and nothing more, right? Which you and I both know, there's a word for it in the English language. It's called a euphemism. Right? A euphemism means, if I say, could I have a couple of beans. I don't really want a couple of beans. It means I don't want a bucket of them, but just a couple of them. So here we go, right? Can I have two? So she brings two lentils, okay? Then you have the continue of the conversation. Lamachar Amarla, the next day, also Rasa Chala. So the husband becomes very angry at her because he wanted a bowl of lentils and she brings him exactly two lentils. He thinks that she is being flippant towards her new husband. So Lamachar, the next day, Amrla bashili li griva. Can you make me a very large amount of whatever it is you're making? Bashili le gvira. And what does she make? She makes for him like literally more food than you could ever dream of eating on the planet. Right? In other words, he simply said, can you make me more than two lentils? So he said, can you make me a lot? Well, she heard, can you make me a lot? And she makes him like buckets and buckets and buckets, more than he ever could have had. So Amrla, he says to her, zil isili tre butzini. Go bring me two butzini. Butzini in Aramaic means melons, right? Go bring me two watermelons. Azlas va'aitile tre shrage. She brings two lamps, which is also comes from the word butzini. So again, literally men are from Mars, women are from Venus. In the actual sense, they have no clue what they're talking about. They are completely miscommunicating. Picture the people coming to America for the first time, discussing with the Indians, and no one knows exactly what's talking about. So by now, he's getting very angry at his wife. He's asked for lentils, he gets two lentils. He asks for more, he gets buckets full. He asks for butzini, and she gives him lamps instead. So now, Amarla, he says to her, Zil tavri yason al resha debava. Go and take these lamps, which are useless to me, because I wanted melons, and break it on bava. Bava is a doorway, right? Go shatter it. Savayasa Bava Bambuta Abava. It just happened that at that moment in time, Bava Bambuta was sitting in the doorway. Vika da'in dina. He was adjudicating a case in a doorway. So azlas, this woman who takes things maybe a little bit too literally, azlas vitavras yason areshe. She goes to the doorway, she takes these lamps, and she shatters them over Bava Ben Buta's head. Now, how would you react if a lady comes over to you? You're in the any lawyers here? You're in the middle of a court case, you're in the middle of a mediation, and you're billing by the hour, and a girl comes over to you, takes two candlesticks, and smashes it on your head. Right? So what are you thinking right then? You're thinking lawsuit. That's what you're thinking. But you're also probably getting so angry. So what happens? Amar la ma hadein davda. Right? Like, what are you doing? You just smashed two candlesticks over my head. Amar la, she says to him, kach tzivani bali. I was just doing exactly, I was following orders. My husband told me to break it over Bava's head. So I went and I broke it over Bava's head. Now, Bava Ben Buta right now has two decisions. He could either get very angry, or he can protect the sanctity of the marriage of this young couple. So Amar, he says, Ata sis ritzon balech, you did what you were supposed to do, and as you followed the word of your husband, Hamakom yotzi mimech shnei banim ke Bava Ben Buta, I'm going to give you a bracha. And your bracha is that you should have children like Bava Ben Buta. So it's a very strange Gemara. And the Gemara at its core, Pshat, is talking about some of the complications of what happens when you have a man from Bavel, a woman from Eretz Yisrael, how they are incapable of properly communicating one with the other. But obviously there's a lot of symbolism here, which we're not going to get into right now, but you can see the commentaries on the Gemara. What's the symbolism of the lamps? What's the symbolism of the lentils, right? For our purposes today, what I'm curious about is what exactly happens here, right? Bava Ben Buta, he has two candlesticks that are smashed over his head. Instead of reacting how you or I would react, which is by getting angry, he commends this woman for listening to the ratzon of her husband. He commends her for doing what he thinks is the correct thing, or at least he's making her feel better. And it shows and it showcases the superhuman peacefulness and tranquility and patience of Bava Ben Buta, that despite the fact that he had two lamps shattered over his head, he didn't lose his cool. He doesn't get angry at all. File that Gemara away. That's Gemara number one. That is the Gemara of Amelia Bedelia. It's literally, you could read an Amelia Bedelia book, and it'll appear just like that Gemara in Nedarim, Daf, Samech Vav, Amud Beis. Gemara number two. And this is a Gemara in Krisus. The Gemara in Krisus tells us the following. We know that there's a korban, which is called an asham taloi. An asham taloi is brought when you act when you're not sure whether you committed a sin or not. Right? You're not so sure whether you committed a sin or not. Okay? And if you're not sure whether you committed a sin, you bring an asham taloi. So says the Gemara of Eliezer Omer, Misnad Dev Adam, asham taloi b'chol yom. Maybe a person should give an asham taloi every single day. Uvecholo shiirtzen, whenever you want. Why? Hu hayanikra asham chasidim. In other words, right, chances are I performed a sin today. I might not remember it, I may not have done it on purposely, but at some point during the day, in all likelihood, I sinned. I don't remember it, I don't know about it, but in all likelihood I did. So maybe, says Rav Eliezer, I should bring an asham taloi every single day to cover my bases. It's called hedging. Right? Maybe I sinned, maybe I didn't sin. But why should I wait until I realize maybe I sinned? Why don't I just bring a korban every single day? That's Rav Eliezer. Amru alav al Bava Ben Buta. They used to say about Bava Ben Buta, or they related about Bava Ben Buta. Shehayim is nadev adam asham taloi b'choyom. Bava Ben Buta actually did that. He brought a korban asham taloi every single day. Chutz, with one exception, me achar yom kippurim yom echad, with the exception of the day after Yom Kippur. Of course, the day after Yom Kippur, what are we? We're cleansed. We're free of sin. Nobody sins at that point. Amar hamaon hazeh ilu ayam anichin li ha'isi mevi. Right? Bava Ben Buta said, if they had allowed me to, I would have brought that day also. Ella omrin lo hamtein atch tikanis lebeis ha'safek. But the chachamim wouldn't allow me to, and they said, really, you should only bring a korban asham talui when you actually know there's a doubt. Because you can't hedge, you can't cover your bases. If you know of a specific doubt, then you can bring the korban asham taloi. Absent of that, you shouldn't bring it. So you have two opinions in the Gemara. Rav Elazar says maybe you should bring it every day, hedge, right? Cover all your bases. And Bava ben Buta wanted to do that, and the Chacham say you shouldn't do that. What was the exception to the day? It was only the day after Yom Kippur. That was the day he didn't bring because he assumed that everything was kedasu gedin. Says Rashi over there, Vishari Yemos Hashana Hu Deika Lamechash B'Safik Shemachet. The rest of the days of the year, he has to be careful. Maybe he sinned. O Shum Avon Olav Aval Hashta Leika Lamechash Da Kippur Yom Kippurim. But the day after Yom Kippur, he has nothing to worry about. Why? Because it's the day after Yom Kippur, and we know that everyone behaves. Everyone behaves on Yom Kippur. I assume that comment was not directed to me. It was directed to people try to share the source sheets. So we will continue. That's Gemara number two. So Gemara number one is the Gemara of Bava ben Buta and this very strange lady who does not have a name when she breaks the lamps on his head. Gemara number two is the Gemara on Croesus, which is a Gemara about Asham Taloi. Seems totally irrelevant to the first Gemara. And Gemara number three is inarguably the more famous Gemara about Bava ben Buta. And that's the Gemara about Herod. Gemara about Bava Basra talks about Herod, that Hurdus Avda Debes Chashmonai Have, that Herod was a slave in the Chashmonaim house. And whatever happened, he eventually rises up and he becomes the king. Now we continue on in the Gemara. Amar. So now Herod is the king, and as kings oftentimes true, they are consolidating power. And one of the things they do to consolidate power is they get rid of anyone who is a threat to them. So Amar, Herod says to himself, Man darish mikerev achecha tasim alecha melech. Herod knows that he can't become a king because, right, mikerev achecha, which seems to exclude slaves. So Rabbanan, it's the rabbis who darshin that Herod is an illegitimate king. Right, it's the rabbis who darshin mikerev achecha tasim alecha melech who said that really, Herod is an illegitimate king. He should not be allowed. So what does Herod do? He sees the threat. Kam katlinhu lekula rabbanan. So he gets rid of the threat. He eliminates them. And if you think about it, it's actually mind-boggling. He kills off all the rabbanan at the time. Shavke lebava ben Buta lemishkal etamine. And he spares one rabbi by the name of Bava ben Buta because every good king needs a good rabbi as his sidekick. Okay, so here you have Herod, who not only usurps power, but he murders all of the rabbis, and he leaves Bava ben Buta. Ahadar le klila deyale. Now, Herod isn't so nice. He's not getting mafter Yona yet for keeping Bava ben Buta. What does he do to Bava ben Buta? He wants to put him in his place also, and so he takes a very sharp object and nakrinu leine, and he pokes out his eyes. So while Bava ben Buta might be alive at this point, he is blind. Now Herod doesn't want to stop there because Bava ben Buta still poses a threat to him because his eyes are, he's still alive. So Herod tries to incite Bava ben Buta to say something negatively about Herod. So Yom Echad Asav Yosef Kami, again, Bava ben Buta can't see. So Herod comes and he's pretending to be a regular guy. Amar Chazi Mar Hayav. Oh, we just, how do we get unmuted there? Okay, we went back. So Amar Le, my Avid Le. So he says, Amar Chazi Mar, Hai Avde Bisha, my Kavid. Did you see that wicked slave is doing? In other words, did you see what the king is doing? Now, you're hoping that Bava Muta is going to be like, yeah, what a terrible person. I can't believe it. He killed all the Jews. He poked out my eyeballs. So Amar Le, my Avid Le. Bava Muta doesn't take the bait. He says, I don't know. What do you do? Amar Le, Nil Taye Mar. Right? He says, well, you should curse him. Amar Leik, Siv Gam Bimadacha Melech Al Tikalel. Even a bad king, you don't curse him. So Amar Leik, Haila Melechu. But Herod says he's not really a king. Don't you know he seized the throne by force? He's not legitimate according to the rabbis. So Amar Leik, Velehave Ashir Be'alma. He should be no different than a wealthy man. And we have by a wealthy man, you shouldn't curse him. And he shouldn't be different than a prince because you don't curse that person also. In other words, Bava ben Buta doesn't take the bait. He refuses to bend. He doesn't lose his cool. He is not cursing Herod no matter what. Amar Leih ba'osa masa amcha. Right? But maybe he should curse him for other reasons. Right? V'hai lav oseh maisa amcha. Right? That's only when someone behaves in an appropriate way. But this king isn't behaving in an appropriate way. So Bavim Babut is not buying it at all. Amar le mistafina minei, he says, I'm afraid of him. Right? Because I saw what he did to the other rabbis. I don't want him doing that to me either. So Amar le, leke nishta azil delei malei. She says, it's just between us. No one's going to tell anyone. Right? It's all just the two of us sitting here. Bavim Babut says back, I am smarter than that. I know that there's no such thing as a private conversation, right? You and I always say that what's the definition of a Jewish secret is that I only tell the next guy over next to me, right? So, of course there's no such thing as a secret, Bava Mbuta. So Herod is trying to convince him to curse the king, to give him a pretext to kill Bava Mbuta, and Bava Mbuta is cool as a cucumber. He's not biting, he's not taking the bait, he's not saying anything negative about Herod. Amar Lei Anahu. Herod finally gives up his identity. He says, I'm Herod. If I knew rabbis were so righteous, if I knew they carried themselves with such integrity and dignity, I never would have killed them. But now that I killed all them, so what tshuva do I have? What can I do to make up for it? So Amar Lei, Herod, Bava Mbuta says back to Herod, Hu kiva oro shel olam? You extinguished the light of the world. In other words, you got rid of Torah. Yelech v'yatzok ba'oro shalolam. So you should go and fill the world with more light, namely by building the Beis Hamikdash, Tichsi v'na'aru elav kol ha'goyim. And there's a different phraseology of the conversation, but essentially that's exactly what happens. Bava Mbuta tells him to go and build the Beis Hamikdash. Now the Gemara, the rabbis go crazy on Bava Mbuta. Ubava Bembuta, hey chiyavet hachi. How could he have done that? How could he have given advice to Herod to do something virtuous? As we say elsewhere, Vehamar Rav Yehuda Maravi, Tamer Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Mimnei ma nenash Daniel. Why was Daniel punished? Mimnei shehisi eitzel Nebuchadnezzar, because he gave Nebuchadnezzar good advice. So how could Bava Bembuta had given Herod, the good advice to build the Beis Hamikdash? Again, that's an eternal zchus for Herod, that his name will always be associated with the Beis Hamikdash. So the Gemara says, Ibai Zeim Ashani Avda, Di'ichayev B'mitzvos. Maybe it was different. Herod was a slave, and therefore he is Chayev B'mitzvos. V'Ibai Zeim, this is the most important answer, Shani Beis Hamikdash, Di'lo Malchus, Lo Mizbanei. That maybe Bava Mbuta hedged his bets. Really, you're not allowed to give advice to a king. You're certainly not allowed to give advice about schus for the king. But maybe this was different, Bava Mbuta said. Despite the fact that I'm giving Herod the advice to build the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore for eternity he'll have the schus of building the Beis HaMikdash, maybe the Beis HaMikdash is different. Maybe because it's so difficult to build, there's so much that needs to go into it, we can only fulfill the building with the help of an all-powerful king. So Bava Mbuta essentially commits himself to a cost-benefit analysis. On the one hand, he knows that we have this principle of Mibnei Ma Nenash Daniel, because he gave Eitzah to Nebuchadnezzar. You're not allowed to give advice to non-Jewish kings. On the other hand, Bava Mbuta says, if I give advice to the non-Jewish king, we'll get our Beis HaMikdash out of it. And so maybe the benefits outweigh the cost. Okay? Now, what do we see up until now? It's a very fascinating Gemara. Okay? A fascinating Gemara. Essentially, Herod kills all rabbis, leaves Bava Mbuta. Okay? He finally wants to do tshuva because he realizes that rabbis aren't as bad as he thought they were, that they're not all liars and chilers and stealers, but there's some good rabbis out there. And so, what does he do? He comes to Bava Mbuta and he says, what tshuva can I do? How can I possibly repent for my mistakes? And Bava Mbuta says, build the Beis HaMikdash. And do the rabbis sound happy about it? The rabbis don't sound happy about it. They may justify it, but it's very clear that they're not exactly fully on board with the decision of Bava Mbuta. Now, parenthetically, the Ben Yehoyada over there asks a following question. Again, I just found this interesting, and I came across it in my preparation for this, so I want to share it with you. The Ben Yehoyada asks a very simple question. Why is it that Bava Mbuta was saved? Right? Think about it. Herod kills, let's pick a number, 1,000 rabbis. He leaves one, Bava Mbuta. What was it about Bava Mbuta? Was it his good looks? What is his charming personality? Right? What was it about Bava Mbutta? So the Ben Yehoyada says, and I'll read for you, it's not on the source sheets there, but he says, Umasha Bachar Bava Mbutta Dafka, that which he saved, Bava Mbutta, and not anyone else, Mibne ki Bava Mbutta hi yadua betivo, she'eno nokem v'notar. Because he knew that Bava Mbutta is not going to take revenge. He's not a vengeful person. V'mochel v'soleach l'cho mi shechat lo. That Herod knew that Bava Mbutta forgives anyone who sins against him. V'lo od ela shehu meitiv l'osei mora. Anyone who does harm to Bava Mbutta doesn't take revenge. He acts nicely to that person. And how does he know that, says the Ben Yehoyada? I know that from the Gemara Nedarim. Our first Gemara, source number one, which was the lady who smashes the lamps on Bava Mbutta's head. And how does he respond? No big deal. Hashem should bless you. You listened to your husband. You did great. So Herod looked at that and he said, that's the guy I'm going to leave alive. A guy who doesn't get angry. A guy who doesn't take revenge. A guy who doesn't, even if someone does something wrong, he's not going to harm him. So I'm not sure whether the Ben Yehoyada understands that in a negative sense or in a positive sense, but I think that's a very positive thing. That Herod saw that Bava Mbutta is not a vengeful person. He says, that's the type of rabbi that I'm going to keep around. But I digress. Okay, so we have three Gemaras there. The Gemara in Nedarim, the very strange case of Amelia Bedelia, this lady who doesn't understand her husband. She breaks the lamps over the head. We have the Gemara in Croesus, where it says that Bava Mbutta would have brought an asham every day with one exception, and that's the day after Yom Kippur, because on that day he has no sins whatsoever. And Gemara number three is the Gemara where Bava Mbutta gives advice to Herod to rebuild the Beis Hamikdash. Says the Chasam Sofer that he tries to piece all three of these Gemaras together. Tries to piece all of them together. And he says here the following. V'anir alianez daiti l'teretz harishon de'eved kagoy. Im kain, what was Bava Mbutta's sin? Chata Bava Mbutta, de mitzvah binyan beis hamikdash rabbi, that the building of the beis hamikdash is a really, really important mitzvah. I'm just going to blow this up a little bit more as I get older, right? Vi lo malka lo misnave, vahavele kemit ana, kemit ana b'shabes, she mitzvah gedola mimkol makom, chozer v'nifrayim yimenu onesh. Right? As if I have, excuse me, kemis aneh, that if I fast on Shabbos, so it's a nice thing, it's a big mitzvah, but I still have to make up for it. So Bava Mbutta, the same thing here. In other words, even though he rebuilt the Beis HaMikdash, he has to be held accountable for that. Says the Chasam Sofer, v'nimsa l'fizeh b'chol yom v'yom, ha'idea kravas o'korbanos. Think about it, says the Chasam Sofer. Every single day that someone brought a korban, Hosif zchus lehordos. They would bring the zchus for Herod. Every time a korban was brought in the Beis HaMikdash, the bank account of zchusim for Herod would go up and up and up because it was on his account that the Beis HaMikdash was rebuilt. V'chol tosefes zchus lehordos hu tosefes onesh lebava Mbutta. And every time there was a zchus for Herod, says the Chasam Sofer, there was a onesh. There was a punishment for Bava Mbutta. So if you think about it in bank accounts, right, they each start off with $1,000. Every time someone brings a korban, Herod gets 10 bucks and Bava Mbutta loses 10 bucks. Right? Herod gets his chus and Bava Mbutta gets an onesh. V'chol tosefes chus lehordos hu tosefes onesh Bava Mbutta. U'mikol shekein biyom ha-kippurim. Right? What day are more korbanos? Is there more emphasis on the avodah of the Beis HaMikdash than on Yom Kippur? It's only because of Herod that the Jewish people achieved their kapara, their atonement. And on Yom Kippur was the worst day for Bava Mbutta. Right? I could not say this. This is the Chasam Sofer saying this. It's amazing. Right? It was a tremendous withdrawal from Bava Mbutta's bank account because every time they did something like a korban on the Beis HaMikdash, every time they achieved kapar for the Jewish people, it was a zchus for Herod, it was a onesh for Bava Mbutta. Al kain b'yom echad, achar yom ha-kippurim. Go back to the Gemara in Croesus now, where the Gemara had said Bava Mbutta wanted to bring an asham taloi every day with the exception of the day after Yom Kippur. Now you and I assumed that when the Gemara said that, the reason why he doesn't bring a korban the day after Yom Kippur was like Rashi, that because he has no sins on the day after Yom Kippur. Sitha Chasam Sofer is the exact opposite. Why does he not bring an Asham Taloi? Because an Asham Taloi is only for mistakes that I don't know if I made. But on the day after Yom Kippur, Rotza Lomer b'mashe chatasi b'ma'on zeh, mishum kenani rotza lahavi Asham Taloi hayom. Right, I wanted to bring an Asham Taloi because maybe I sinned. Ela shalohi nichu, but the Chachamim wouldn't allow him to. V'amrim at hamtein at shtkanes lebeis ha-safek, wait until you get to a case of safek. Daika bebeis shehi rak safek chet. Ava bebeis hazeh yesh lo vadai chet. Vein Asham Taloi mechaper avados. Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. If we were in person, you guys would all be jumping out of your seats. I know that, right? Says the Chasam Sofer, go back to the Gemara in Krisis over here. The Gemara in Krisis, all the way up, don't mean to make you dizzy, is Bava ben Buta brought a Asham Taloi every day because he was hedging his bets, with the exception of the day after Yom Kippur. The Chum say, don't bring one on the day after Yom Kippur because you have to wait until you have a Suffolk sin. We assumed, like Rashi, that what does it mean you have to wait until a Suffolk sin? Then on the day after Yom Kippur, you're so well behaved, for sure you didn't sin. Comes along the Chasam Sofer and says, no, it's the exact opposite. That on the day after Yom Kippur, vadai, you sinned Bava ben Buta. Of course you sinned. Because the whole day yesterday, when the Kohen Gadol was achieving atonement for the Jewish people, it was because of you and Herod. And because you allowed Herod, it was a zchus for Herod, but it was a sin for you. So on the day after Yom Kippur, Bava ben Buta, for sure, with certainty, you have committed a grievous error. You have committed a grievous sin. Now, if that's the reading, according to the Chasam Sofer, then it already leads us in the direction of the Chasam Sofer reading the entire life of Bava ben Buta, that the rabbis were not happy with Bava ben Buta. They were not thrilled with his decision to communicate this advice to Herod. And even though the Gemara seems to absolve him, according to the Chasam Sofer's reasoning, we're not exactly 100% sure that the Rabbanan actually buy into what Bava ben Buta did or forgive him for what he did. Says the Chasam Sofer, that is now how you read the Gemara in Adarim. So we've read the Gemara in Krisus, we've read the Gemara in Bava Basra, and now he's going to read in the Gemara in Nedarim, again, the case of Amelia Bedelia. She breaks the lamps on Bava ben Buta's head. Vitzarachian, says the Chasam Sofer. Right? Is it allowed this woman to create a bizayon, to publicly shame Bava ben Buta just to listen to her husband? She and her husband are obligated to both honor the Talmidei Chachamim. So how could she take her lamps just because she wanted to listen to her husband? How could she take the lamps and smash it on Talmid Chacham's head, publicly humiliate him? How could he do that? Says the Chasam Sofer. Aval emes nira shayu mashimin lebava al shehisi etz lehordus lebnos habes hamikdash. Right? That Bava ben Buta was being punished for giving the advice to Herod. What was he being punished? Because the Pasuk says, Mitzion teisei Toro dvar Hashem Yerushalayim. Uvavonoseinu rabim miyom shenivne bai sheni aidei rishayon koresh nistama hanavuah. The day that Koresh gave permission for the Jewish people to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, Nevuah stopped. Chagai, Zecharin, Melachai, they are the end of Nevuah. So Koresh gives permission, Nevuah stops. Umiyom shenivna binyan hamafuar al yidei hurdos ha'evet. In the day that Herod builds the Beis HaMikdash, something else tragic happened. As nechleku beis Shammai ubeis Hillel v'nase Torah kalpaim toros bavonosein orabim. You know what happened, says the Chasam Sofer? The day that Herod allowed us to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, beis Shammai and beis Hillel have machlokes, and instead of having one Torah, what do we have? We have a very confusing system of Gemara, right? We have a Gemara where you can learn 10 dapim of Gemara and still not know how to paskin, where everyone's making Shabbos for themselves. And so says the Chasam Sofer, that every time we've relied on a non-Jewish king to rebuild our Beis HaMikdash, something bad has happened to the Jewish people. In the time of Koresh, it means we lost Nevuah. In the time of Herod, It means that we had machlokas. The Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us, it's not in your source sheets, but mitchila lo hayu marbe machlokas b'Yisrael. That originally there was not a lot of machlokas in Klal Yisrael. But misharabu talmidei hail al v'shamai shaloshimshu kol tzorchan rabu machlokas b'Yisrael v'asiyas toros k'shtei toros. Right? But as the students of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel proliferate, it becomes like two Torahs, machlokas and Jewish people. So says the Chassam, it's an amazing, amazing statement of the Chassam Sofer, right? And that, and what does he say? Nimsa, garam bava lekiboy shteyam aoros, ner Torah v'ner avoda. Right? Bava ben Buta caused two Torahs, the ner of Torah, the ner of avoda, to be lost. Why? Because he relied upon Herod to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. So it's an amazing thing the Chassam Sofer says. Every time the Jewish people have relied on a non-Jewish king to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, bad things have happened. In the time of Koresh, we lost Nevuah. In the time of Herod, we have Machlokas, one of the most destructive things to our heritage. V'nira, says the Chassam Sofer, I haya nishar od chacham echad, shahaya lo labava l'kvo yeshiva imo, v'laseis v'laseis imo ba'halacha. This is an amazing statement, he says. Right? Why did Bava ben Buta make the mistake that he made? He made the mistake that he made because he has no chavrusa. He had no one to correct him. If he had someone else there to do pilpul of halacha, to give a back and forth, lo hava yahiv etzel hordas. He never would have given the advice to hordas. Ach ba'asher lo ishir kol kim echad oso levado. But because he was alone, that's why he made the mistake. Wow. This is one of those that if it was not the Chassam Sofer saying it, I never would have had the audacity to say that. But what does the Chassam Sofer do? He pieces together our Gemara in Krisus, our Gemara in Nedarim, and our Gemara in Bava Basra. Right? He starts off with the Gemara in Bava Basra, where he says essentially his thesis is that the Chachamim were upset at Bava ben Buta for giving advice to Herod. That's how he explains the Gemara in Krisus. Why doesn't Bava ben Buta bring a korban on the day after Yom Kippur? Because he was full of sin, not because he had no sin. What was his sin? That the whole day yesterday on Yom Kippur, when the Kohen Gadol was achieving kapara for the Jewish people, that was a schus for Herod. And it was a sin for Bava ben Buta. And that's why when this poor little lady comes and breaks the lamp on Bava ben Buta's head, instead, like you almost in picture, says the Chassam Sofer, the Chachamim saying, good job, lady. Great job for humiliating Bava ben Buta, because he did what's wrong. And that's why there are two candles, says the Chassam Sofer. Ner Avot Torah and Ner Avoda. Right? That was what Bava ben Buta got rid of as a result of his sin. And why did he sin? How could such a great Talmid Chacham like Bava ben Buta sin? It's because he had no chavrusa. He had no one to bounce the ideas off of. That's an amazing comment. In the upshot of the Chassam Sofer is that the introduction of Machlokas into Judaism is catastrophic. That because Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel introduce machlokes into our system of Torah Sheval Peh, naaseh Torah kalpayim toros bavonoseinu arabim. It diminishes the Torah. Think about how much went wrong throughout history, says the Chassam Sofer. Because we have machlokes, Jews who argue, Jews who disagree, Jews who practice differently, and therefore judge each other differently. How much destruction was brought? Because of Machloka, says the Chassam Sofer, that's all the result of Bava ben Buta. But I would like to save Bava ben Buta. Because I try never to leave you with a sour taste in your mouth, certainly as we approach the 3 weeks. I'm not going to let you guys think anything negatively against Bava ben Buta. And so I want to try to save Bava ben Buta with the following comment from a footnote, which I've shared in the past. I think it's a magnificent idea, which in many respects saves this whole idea of Machlokas being catastrophic. Says Rav Huttner in his Pachad Yitzchak and Chanukah, don't think that our system of Torah Sheval Peh destroyed the Torah. Don't think that Machlokas was the worst thing that ever happened to Torah Sheval Peh. Says Rav Huttner that Machlokas was actually the best thing that happened to Torah Sheval Peh. That as a result of Machlokas, what happens? You and I need to have shiurim like we're having nowadays, where we're going to battle back and forth. And we're going to say the Rambam says this, but the Ran says this, and the Rambam, right? And we're going to duke it out. That dynamism that excitement that surrounds the learning of Torah, says Rav Huttner, is actually what's allowed Torah to sustain itself and to perpetuate throughout generations, right? If you simply read a book passively, how exciting is that book to you? It might resonate for a little while. Most books are in ear, one ear, in out the other ear. But when you sit opposite a chavrusa, and you're battling over a gemara, and you say one pshat, and he says another pshat, and you come back with a raya, and he comes back with a raya, right at the end of the night when you go home, how geschmack of a feeling do you have about the gemara? How much will you? You're not just going to remember that gemara. That's going to be ingrained in part of you, because you're going to go to sleep that night and the Gemara is going to be on your head, and you're going to wake up in the morning, the Gemara is going to be on your head, right? So it's dafka the fact that there's machlokas and that we have to battle about who's correct, which actually is what's caused the Jewish people to hold on to Torah Shebaal Peh so much throughout its history. Because it's such a dynamic document. Because we invest so much of ourselves into it. And so says Rav Huttner, pamim, there are times, Shebitula shel Torah zehu kiyuma. That there are times when even though there's bitul Torah, right? Yes, chasam sofer. It was a terrible thing that machlokas came into the Jewish people, right? That caused bitul Torah. But zohi kiyuma, that actually is what's allowed the Torah to perpetuate. Ki efshar lo latorah shetisrabe al yedei shichachas haTorah. Even though there might be a short-term forgetfulness of the Torah, a short-term denigration of Torah, ultimately, ki efshar lo latorah shetisrabe. That's what's going to cause the Torah to thrive. Vare divrei Torah halalo shel pilpul hachazeras halachos. The pilpul, the back and forth, the give and take of Torah. Heim divrei Torah shenisrabu rak leidei shichas haTorah. Right, zdafka the fact that there was an introduction of machlokes, which actually is what's caused us to hold on to the Torah throughout the generation. Don't think, says Rav Huttner, that machlokas is a bad thing. Right, that even though there's machlokas, nimsa dechol hachiluk deos v'chilufei shitos heim hagdolas haTorah. It's dafka the fact that you feel strongly one way and I feel strongly another way, that's going to cause the hagdolas haTorah. It's going to cause Torah to thrive. V'adarasa, that is the beauty of Torah. Hanolet is dafka b'kocha sheshichas haTorah. That emerges specifically because machlokas was introduced into the world. And so perhaps the Chasam Sofer got it wrong. The Chasam Sofer assumed that because Bava ben Buta's actions introduced machlokas between Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel, that was the worst thing that happened, that caused the destruction of the Beis Hillel, right? No, maybe he was reading it wrong. Maybe the Pachad Yitzchak is right. Maybe, just maybe, that by machlokas being introduced, by this whole system of Shammai says one thing and Hillel says the other thing, and Moskowitz says one thing and Goldberg says, not that I'm comparing us to Hillel and Shammai, right? And Rav Schechter says one thing and Rav Avadia says another thing. Maybe that excitement, that dynamism in learning is specifically what's allowed it to perpetuate and survive and to thrive throughout all the years of exile, which, by the way, many other books have been unable to accomplish. And so I tried to share with you today the really strange case of Bava ben Buta, three Gemaras which seem completely having nothing to do with each other. You have the Chasam Sofer that pieces the Gemaras together and tries to offer pshat in how you understand all three of them. But maybe I argue just a little bit with the thesis, the underlying thesis, the premise of what the Chasam Sofer was suggesting, which is that once Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel introduced machlokes, that was catastrophic to Judaism. Maybe there's another way of looking at it. And maybe, like Rav Huttner says, it's machlokes, healthy machlokes. Of course, not bad machlokes, but healthy machlokes, right? Where we're battling the Melchamta of Torah, maybe dafka, that is what causes the perpetuation of our sacred Torah. So we learned here the curious case of Bava ben Buta, certainly a relevant Gemara as we approach the 3 weeks to understand what led to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the role that Herod played in its rebuilding, the reticence of the Chachamim with regards to that, but ultimately a very fascinating conversation about the role of Machlokas. Is Machlokas bad? Again, Machlokas L'Shem Shemayim. Is it bad? Or like Rafutner suggests, maybe it's dafka through the Machamta Shel Torah. The investment that you and I place into understanding Gemaras, which is actually what's allowed it to thrive throughout all these years of exile. I want to wish everyone